Hi there.
My name is Shannon Patrick Sullivan, and I'm the author of The Dying Days, a new dark fantasy novel from Killick Press, an imprint of Creative Book Publishing. In this extract, a new figure arrives at the bar from which our protagonist, Christopher Prescott, has recently departed. The mood of euphoria in the dance club had crested and was now beginning to wane. The place was still bustling, though it was hardly as crowded as when Christopher Prescott had vanished out its back door, but the dancing was starting to feel less lively, as if the heat and the alcohol were no longer fueling the partier's high spirits, but instead were beginning to leech them away. As the hour approached 3 o'clock, another Friday night on George Street was drawing to an exhausted close. While most of the traffic was now leaving the bar, however, one figure was moving against the current. Those who noticed him, and there were precious few of these, saw a man of average build with a plain face and brown hair, brushed into an unassuming style. He was dressed in clothes which were neither fashionable nor ugly, but instead seemed selected to elicit the least amount of commentary possible, which in fact they were. The man stood in front of the bar, studying the gaudy logo painted on a wooden sign above the door. Two burly bouncers stood beneath it, their arms folded forbiddingly, completely blocking off the way into the establishment. After a moment, the newcomer nodded, almost imperceptibly to himself, and glanced at two women, walking in opposite directions a little way down the strip. Seconds later, the bouncer's attention became distracted by a scuffle, which had broken up between the two young ladies, neither of whom had exchanged so much as a word, nor even glanced in each other's direction until a moment before, when they had suddenly developed a deep and abiding hatred for one another. Advancing a few paces, the bouncers chortled as a well-placed fingernail pierced flesh, and a spray of blood coated both girls' blouses. By this time, the plain-looking man had long since disappeared into the depths of the bar. As he moved through the club, his gaze strayed to neither the slovenly clad women still hanging around the dance floor, pining for one last chance at love, or at least something they could briefly fool themselves into thinking was love, nor the bar with its enticing racks of beer and liquor. Instead, the man made his way to the middle of the dance floor, the remaining revelers somehow managing to avoid him completely. He stopped there and seemed to sniff the humid air, his black eyes roaming back and forth. Finally, the man's gaze fell to a table, pushed up against one wall of the bar. A chair had recently been dragged over to the table, and a man now sat sprawled across its surface, moaning pitiably in his drunken stupor. A bottle of beer had fallen from his grasp and lay smashed at his feet, cream ale pooling around the soles of his sneakers. The man in the middle of the dance floor stalked over to the table, his eyes alert for something. As he reached the side of the bar, his dispassionate expression changed for the first time since entering the place. He bared his teeth a little and let out a quiet hiss of aggravation. Why were his eyes not locating what he knew he should be able to find there? The drunken man finally registered the presence of another person nearby and tried to sit up, though all he could manage was to raise his head slightly off the table and look in the other man's general direction. The plain-looking man regarded him as one might look upon a particularly loathsome insect. "Where is the Phios Stone?" he asked, in a tone of voice which practically defined neutrality. "What?" was the most intelligent response the seated man could muster. "I can smell a Phios Stone. I must have it." The drunken man giggled stupidly. "I don't have a clue what you're talking about," he replied, resting his head back on the tabletop. "I'm going back to sleep." The other man reached out, pulled open the drunkard's eyelid with one hand, and, with a single finger of his other hand, casually punctured the eyeball thus revealed. As his victim began screaming uncontrollably, he grasped what remained of the ruined orb and plucked it from its socket. He popped it between his lips and began slowly to chew. After a few seconds, he swallowed and shook his head. "No, Alvin Willicott, you have not seen the Phios Stone." He sniffed the air once more and picked up a faint scent of something. He nodded to himself again. "So, it has moved elsewhere." Alvin Willicott was flailing wildly in his seat, trying to get up and escape his attacker, but too drunk and in too much pain to do so. Around them, the last few bar patrons danced on, or sucked thirstily on their final drinks of the night, or groped each other desperately in the bar's shadowed corners. No one seemed to notice the shrieking man at the table, nor the plain dark man standing over him. Abandoning his attempts to stand, the one-eyed man began to sob, cradling his devastated face in his palms. The other man looked at him anew. "Shh," he said, and thrust his hand into Alvin's chest cavity, closing his fist around his heart until it had beaten its last. Without even bothering to wipe the grisly detritus off his hand or arm, the man turned at once and padded slowly to the rear of the bar towards the door to the alley. Nobody noticed the body left lying in a growing pool of blood on the bar floor. Nobody noticed the bartender, an hour or so later, dragging the corpse out onto the street and depositing it in a dumpster, although his wife would admonish him the following morning for bloodstains on his trousers, which he would never be able to satisfactorily explain. Nobody reported Alvin Willicott missing, or held a funeral for him. In fact, across the dance floor, the woman who, seconds earlier, had been Alvin's girlfriend, abruptly wondered why she had spent the past 4 months single and alone, ignoring the man who had been Alvin's best friend when he was so obviously fond of her. Acting on these feelings with a sudden and consuming impatience, she spent the rest of the night in his bed. The people who had been Alvin's parents woke up on Saturday morning to find themselves both pondering why they had kept a room full of junk in their house all these years, and quickly made plans to dispose of it. On Monday, a want ad went up for what had been Alvin's job at a local music store, and none of his co-workers could quite remember who had filled the position last. For, in every way that mattered, Alvin Willicott had ceased to exist. And that concludes this extract from The Dying Days. If you'd like more information about the novel, please visit shannonsullivan.com or look for The Dying Days online or in your local bookstore. The ISBN is 1-897-174047. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.